Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9,012th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 18, 2016, or it is the 14th day of the 4th month, 2020. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy, speak off with the Yah, abide in Him holy, and feed on His way. Make friends of Yah's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting is nothing, His blessing to see. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Yahshua alone. By looking to Yahshua, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy and sorrow, still follow the King. And look into Yahshua, His joys to sing. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Be stirred in this motive, beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit, through fountains of love. Thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. So the time of trouble. That's the title of our sermon today. This will be a text of address of the V.T. Holler, September 20th, 1947. And we're dealing with Daniel 12. And our prayer thought is taken from Isaiah chapter 61. And our key word today is spirit. All right, it says, For the spirit of the Yahweh, Elohim, is upon me. Because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Yahweh, and the day of the vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, for the plan of Yahweh, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. that you shall be named the priest of the Yahweh. A man shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Yahweh, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in the truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Yahweh hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Yahweh, and my soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh Elohim will cause righteousness and praise to spring before the, all the nations. Now this is what the Yahweh gave me last evening for today, for this Sabbath day. And he's given me the key word spirit. And the spirit is mentioned 505 times in the KJV. Get acquainted with that. And then the Holy Spirit, those two words together, are mentioned 21 times. And it starts there in Psalms 51. And it says that in Psalms 51, starting with verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O Yahweh, according unto thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltlessness, O Yahweh, thy Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of the Yahweh are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Yahweh, thou wilt not despise. Do good and good pleasure unto thine. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. All right, that pretty well takes care of our prayer thoughts for today. Let's get right into our main subject now. Dealing with Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 7, the time of trouble, and the reward of the one's faith in Yahweh. Revival and Reformation precedes great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. We have a prayer thought here now taken from Christ Object Lessons by Ellen G. White, page 43, that the teacher of the sacred truth can impart only that which he himself knows by experience. The sower sowed the seed. Yahshua taught the truth because he was the truth. So with his servants, those who would teach the word are to make it their own by a personal experience. In presenting the word of Yahweh and the others, they are not to make it a suppose, so, or maybe. They should declare with the Apostle Peter, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Every minister of Yahshua and every teacher should be able to say with the beloved John, "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Paul Elohim's service to teach the truth. They are to teach the positive truth, not by suppose so or maybe, but by certainties. If they speak not the positive truth, then what good can result? For the apostles did not preach Yahshua's resurrection and ascension as a theory, but as positive truth. If our teaching consists of supposes and maybes, then we will only be wasting our time, our energies, and the time of those who listen unto us. It will profit no one and harm all. We should now pray for the ability to teach only positive truth, only that way we know by the experience and authority. All right, that ends our prayer thought for that. All right, let's get into our main study now. It's time of trouble, and the reward of one's faith in the Yahweh. All right, our subject for this afternoon is found in Daniel chapters 11 and 12. Chapter 12 contains the time of trouble, but the time of trouble is found in the 11th chapter of Daniel. The 12th chapter is a continuation of the 11th chapter. We shall begin our study with Daniel 12:4. The foul Daniel set up the words and sealed the book. Even unto the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel was told to shut and seal the book even unto the time of the end. The book, therefore, was not for the understanding of the people before the time of the end. Okay, so that's the reason why Gilead sinners didn't understand Daniel 12:4. What was in it? We thought we did. I was part of Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003. So did the ones before. Ben Roden, B.T. Holler. When the book is unsealed and understood, we may know that the time of the end has come. Well, that makes sense. At the time when this book is unsealed and made known what's in it, the true understanding of it, then that's when the time for it to be fulfilled. Besides this sign, though, there is a sign of men running to and fro and an increase of knowledge. For the whole world knows that throughout the years of the history prior unto our time, the horse was the means of man's speediest transportation and communication, and this method continued throughout the centuries. For the angel nevertheless informed Daniel that in the time of the end, there would be a decided change, that men would then run to and fro and touching the time of the end according unto Nahum's prophecy, inspiration declared. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall justice just one against another. In the broad ways, they shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. Nahum 3:4. Now that knowledge has been increased since the last century or longer, and now that steam, oil, and electric engines have revolutionized the world and have made it possible for man to run to and fro with unprecedented speed, the subject stands as clear as crystal that we are now living in the time of the end. There can be no doubt about this. This is positive truth, truth that you cannot gainsay and yet believe the Bible and history. To find the beginning of the time of the end, we must read Daniel 11:40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. Now, not in, but at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at the king of the north. This prophetic war, therefore, marks the beginning of the time of the end. To find the time of the conflict between the two kings, we need to read Daniel 11:41-43. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the children, or the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Mark carefully that at the downfall of the king of the south, the king of the north expands and overthrows many countries, that he enters the glorious land Palestine. But Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon escape out of his hand. And remember that this work of the conquest was not to begin at the time of the end. Hence, in the time of the end, the king of the south declined, while the king of the north expanded. And since the conflict starts at the time of the end, the defeat of the one and the victory of the other are completed in and during the time of the end. Next, to learn when the years of the time of the end begin and who the king of the south and who the king of the north are, all you need to know is when such a clash began, and who in the time of the end ceded Egypt and Palestine to an enemy power, what power has as a result shrunk during the time of the end. Now remember, we entered into the time of the end in 2002. That was, you can use the Twin Towers being brought down in New York City by a man-induced situation, and so that started to mark the sign of the time of the end in the 12th hour. Now I'm getting some new revelation here on this king of the north. We're in the time of the end now, and we have the United States at the forefront of prophecy on this here antitypical Babylon, this mystery Babylon coming forth at this time, Revelation 17. We have a Donald Trump that has emerged. He's definitely from the north. And he represents the figure of a king. So it says, let's look at this here king of the north here in the United States as being a literal person that lives here in the United States, is born here, was raised up here to do this very work. Okay, now, they raised up Abraham Lincoln in 1860 to create a civil war between the North and the South, and to force the South back into the Union. But the North and the South is united today, but we still have a man that's emerging from the North that is threatening to take over the whole United States once again. Let's go ahead now. And what power has expanded? There is but one answer, and that is, while the Ottoman Empire has been shrinking since 1669 A.D., the British Empire has been expanding, and it today rules Egypt and Palestine. Hence today, Turkey is the king of the South. Now keep in mind that Turkey is Muslim, it's Arab, and the Great Britain, the king of the North. And according to this prophetic conflict, the time of the end started at the beginning of the 18th century. Okay, so now that's V.T. Hall's take on the beginning of the time of the end. At the beginning of the 18th century, in other words, 1798 A.D., ended the 17th century, when the 1260-year prophecy was up. Okay, so now, so V.T. Hall is saying the time of the end began in about 1800. Okay, now it says, here's a map that demonstrates the rise and decline of the Ottoman Turkish Empire. Located, studied, and on the opposite page is the expansion of the English Empire during the same period of time. Now it says, this you see is positive proof, not guesswork, not theory, not a far-fetched idea. Next, note that Edom and Moab escaped out of his hand. Yes, the king of the north shall lose them. As the Second World War had, however, brought the first reverses to Great Britain, and as we here see her in prophecy, her part in World War II must also be found in Daniel 11. Let us instead the remaining verses of the chapter. Daniel 11:44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and others to make away many. So now, this is what's happening today in the United States. Tidings out of the east and out of the north are troubling Donald Trump. Or he represents this king of the South. Donald Trump is a representative in this scenario as the king of the North. Okay, so the tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, because he shall go forth great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Okay, it said, in the time of the end, after having overflown the previously mentioned countries, the king of the north is again seen in conflict, but not with the king of the south. He is drawn into the last conflict by what is reported to him from the east and from the north. Now that World War II developed from the direction specified by the inspiration, Germany on the north and Japan on the east, besides Russia in the extreme north, facts so fresh, and Germany on the north and Japan on the east, besides Russia in the extreme north, facts so fresh in our minds are bound to remove all doubt that World War II is the one spoken of here in prophecy. And let us not forget that World War II has not actually ended. It is yet to be finished. I say, in the face of these facts, now known worldwide, it is difficult for one to deny what is here brought to light. Now keep in mind that it said to mention Germany on the north. Okay, now Donald Trump's father came from Germany. They're German, and I'm suspecting their ancestry is Jewish. I'm suspecting that they're German Jews. Okay. Daniel 11:45, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Well, I've said before that in this prophecy that the king of the north is the Pope, is the Catholic run the Catholic Church. So let's take it from there at that point. Now that Great Britain economic structure is in grave danger of collapsing, and as her empire is fast crumbling, we fear that the fulfillment of verse 45 is perhaps closer than one might realize. If only those who head the empire and also the heads of our own nation knew and understood prophecy, we believe Great Britain could come out victoriously as did Nineveh of old after Jonah's great episode. We all know that Great Britain has been helped by the United States of America more than once. But if we rightly understand this verse, the events of which are but a continuation of those found in verse 44, the king will surely come unto his end, and none shall help him. This may transpire before World War II is entirely over, and yet it may not. We gather this from the fact that the event of verse 44 is in connection with the event of verse 45. Inspiration seems to allow no time between verses 44 and 45. We do not know the turns which the war will take, but we know that the prophecies of the Bible never fail. As to this planting his tabernacles in the glorious holy mountain, it is not too clear for planting the tabernacles of his palace before he comes to his end does not necessarily mean moving his throne there. It could be taken to mean having a branch of his palace there. If he is to plant his tabernacles there while Michael stands up, though then the only locality other than the Holy Land that we know of is at the Mount Sinai between the Mediterranean and the Red Sea. But the study of the 11th chapter of Daniel, we have learned several positive truths. Number one, the time of the end began in the 18th century. So now we have to upgrade this to 2002 for the time of the end to begin here in the 12th parabolic hour. That the king of the south is the Ottoman Empire, number three. That the king of the north at the present time is Great Britain in particular, number four. That World War II is a war in Daniel 11. Now that the prophecy of the 11th chapter of Daniel continues through the 12th, we shall turn to verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered everyone that shall be found written in the book. At that time, that is, at the time that the king of the north comes unto his end, and none help him, shall Michael stand, and at the same time there shall be trouble such as never was even to that very same time. Only Elohim's people, who have their names written in the book, will be delivered, none other. This study has led us step by step down unto our day, own day. Through this study we see that the time of the trouble is but a step in the future, that the only event yet to be fulfilled before the trouble begins is the king of the north coming unto his end. Then follows the reward of the faithful. What a solemn time we have come to, brothers and sisters. Do you realize that if you do not now make an effort to put your name in the book, it may be forever too late? And is it not better to have your name there even if the time, if the trouble were 100 years in the future? Now is the time to act. Now is the day of the salvation brought unto you. Today, inspiration, please, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Only those who heed the revealed word of Elohim will find deliverance and peace, none others will. Daniel 12, 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Here we are told in a time of trouble, these arise, some to the to live forever and some to die again. That event is still in front of us. Do you now realize that not only the time of trouble is at the door, but even this special resurrection? Do you actually see that in the time of the trouble, all the living saints are being delivered, these dead who rise to unto everlasting life are also delivered from their graves? Do you realize that this time of trouble is in the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, the day which the promised prophet Elijah announces? Do you actually know that it is to turn the hearts of the fathers and of the children toward each other, lest he, Yahshua, smite the earth with a curse? Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Do you see that the prophet appears in a day he can restore all things? Everything that was lost through sin, even the kingdom. Do you know that the resurrection of Daniel 12 is not the same as the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians in Revelation 20, verse 5? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel and the dead, and with the trump of Yahweh. Now here's this trump. We finally got this trump come into here, and inspiration tells us that the trump is only mentioned twice in the scriptures. Or it's, I believe it's twice. And the dead in Yahshua shall rise first. It said, the voice of the archangel and with the trump. So inspiration is showing us here, and I've seen this before, that Donald Trump is this trump that he's talking about. He's going to use Donald Trump's what he has done to take possession of the United States. He'd have to have him as a forerunner to get the United States prepared for this coming. So it says when he comes, though, he comes with this trump. And we've already seen where he come in 2002 to take the reins in his own hands at current protection. So he's already here. Yahshua is already here in the person. Now, Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. are in their hands, and they lived in Ramoth Yashur 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a circuit death has no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay, it says, for the Apostle Paul obviously speaks of the same resurrection as the Apostle John, because in it only the holy ones are raised. Both Paul's and John's description make clear that these arise at the commencement of the 1,000 years. This we see from the facts that they lived with Yahshua 1,000 years, and that they were caught up to meet the Yahshua in the air, that they were on their way to live with Yahshua during the 1,000 years, not Yahshua with them. Now to line up all the resurrection, we must take into account also the one of Ezekiel 37:1, 11-14. For the hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh. I remember our key word for today is spirit, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of the bones. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of grave, out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Yahweh. In this resurrection, only Elohim's own people, Israel, arise with no sinner among them. Moreover, these do not meet the Yahshua there, they are taken to the land of Israel, Palestine. The resurrection, therefore, is not the same as the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians, of the Revelation, or of Daniel 12. It must be a separate one. That's Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones resurrection. That's a separate one, because they're taken into the land. Okay. Now, Daniel 12:1-3, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In these three verses, several things clearly stand out. Number one, only those whose names are written in the books are delivered. There are therefore no foolish ones among them. Number two, those who are resurrected, however, are mixed. Both foolish and wise come up. Number three, the statement, and they that be wise, implying that some be foolish, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, indicates that these wise ones are from among the raised. Four, that if the wise are from among the resurrected and turn many unto righteousness, then they must be resurrected in the probationary time, in the time of the salvation. Ellen, see, why it says she's going to be among that resurrection. That special resurrection. Your work, my work, will not cease with this life. For a little while we may rest in the grave, but when the call comes, we shall in the kingdom of the Yahweh take up our work once more. Testimony, Volume 7, page 710. There you have two sevens there. It says Daniel 12:4-10. But thou, O Daniel, set up the words and seal the book even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, what is meant by being wise? Let us turn to Matthew 25:1-4. Okay, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil and their vessels with their lamps. So all the remnant of these three different feeding pastures, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, since 1844, they always had a remnant that collected up the extra oil in their feeding pastures so that they could move on to the next one. Matthew 25:1-4, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, apparently the foolish didn't even have an extra vessel, so they couldn't put oil in as they wanted to. Here we see that the wise are those who take extra oil, extra truth, that lightens the rest of their way. Finally, it plainly appears that this mixed resurrection is a test. That is, they are all given the opportunity to be wise, to turn many unto righteousness, but only a part of them do so. Some of them again fail or fall into sin, and thereby they awake to shame and everlasting contempt, everlasting disobedience. But the wise awake to everlasting life, never again to die. This plainly shows that those who give themselves to wickedness up to the time they die would not turn to righteousness even though they be given a second chance. The actual truth of this time is what decides each one's destiny. The wise shall embrace the additional truth while the foolish will not. Sin is indeed a mystery. This brings us to the end of that study, number 7. And now number 8, revival and reformation precedes the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Timely Greetings, Volume 2, number 42. That which is to be during the time of the end is the name of this subject. We're going to use this to end out our study today. We're dealing with Daniel 11. It says, in order to know what takes place during the time of the end, we must first know where the time of the end begins and ends. We must know both ends if we are to know what takes place between and now. To find when the time of the end begins, let us turn to Daniel 11:40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. In this verse of Scripture there are 5 truths to be carefully noted. That the war mentioned in this verse is the last conflict between the two kings, recorded in the prophecy of Daniel 11. Number 2, that it is a losing war for the king of the south. Okay, now the king of the south we've identified before as Obama, the Arab countries, the Muslims. Number 3, that it is fought at the time of the end. And we're still looking at that event to take place. not before, in or after. Number four, that the king of the north becomes great while the king of the south declines. And number five, that the statement, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, very obviously marks the beginning of the time of the end. Now, I've identified the Pope and the Catholic Church as being the king of the north. Before, that's Rome. Okay? If therefore we find the year this prophesied war began, we shall have established the beginning of the time of the end. Since the king of the south pushes at the king of the north, it follows that the king of the south is the aggressor. So, now we got this, we're still looking at this last war to be fought. This last war hadn't been fought yet. He nevertheless loses out, and the king of the north overruns him, becomes great, takes many countries, including the following. Daniel 11:41, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, that these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now these are all Arab countries, Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Here it is seen that the king of the north grows very great during the time of the end. He takes the glorious land, Palestine, and besides taking many other countries, he also takes Edom and Moab and Ammon, the Arab countries, which nevertheless in the time escape out of his hand. Free themselves, moreover, says the scripture. Daniel 11:42. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. This definitely shows that in the time of the end, one great power, which has been ruling these countries, among which are included Egypt and Palestine, loses them and becomes small, while another power takes them and waxes even greater. For centuries, the Ottoman Empire ruled these countries, and history records that the first Turkish reverses on land occurred about 1699. Ever since, Turkey had been declining and the Christian nations gaining, but it is Great Britain in particular that has taken the countries mentioned by name in this prophecy. She is the one who has taken many other countries besides these and has waxed great during the time of the Ottoman Empire. Obviously, therefore, these historical facts besides others we have not mentioned prove that rising from the jungles south of Palestine, the Ottoman Empire, next after the Ptolemies, holds the title of King of the South. And the nations north of Palestine, the Christian nations rising from the Roman Empire, and now Great Britain in particular, hold the title of King of the North. And since the decline of the Ottoman Empire began in 1699, and the growth of the British Empire began during the same time, then the beginning of the 18th century is therefore the beginning of the time of the end. Now, as I pointed out before, 1798, the end of the 1260-year prophecy for the Catholic Church to come to its end, that marked the beginning of the time of the end for those nations in Europe, and those nations north and south in Europe. Okay, so now, because we know that that's where the power of control of the land of Israel took place. The Ottoman Empire, the Greeks, they gave it to Britain in 1917. Britain gave it over in 1948. Okay. Finally, since we now see that the wars of the Mohammedans with the Christian nations are mentioned in prophecy, with special emphasis that Egypt and Palestine are, during the time of the end, ceded to the king of the north as part of his trophies. These kings are positively identified, and the fall of the one with the growth of the other after the Treaty of Karlowitz in 1699, by which Mustafa II agreed to renounce his claims upon the Transylvania and a large part of Hungary to give the Maria to the Venetians, to restore Podolia and the Ukraine to Poland, and to leave Azov to the Russians. Okay, that's the 12th century encyclopedia, and page 247. Certainly establishes the beginning of the time of the end. Daniel 11:43-44. For he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the livings in the Ethiopian shall be at his step. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, therefore he shall go forth in great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. These verses reveal that after taking Egypt and Palestine, the king of the north enters into another war, not on account of the king of the south, which is the Arabs, not with Turkey, in other words, but rather due to rumors from the east and from the north that trouble him. These cause him to go forth with great fury to destroy many, but he conquers nothing worth mentioning. And according to the verse that follows, he is afterwards threatened with coming to his end. This particular war, therefore, brings the first reverses to the king of the north since the reverses of the king of the south in 1699. Germany and Russia from the north, also Japan from the east, the rumors which put Great Britain and her allies into the World War II are therefore the tidings which brought the war, and which, though supposedly the war was won, weakened rather than strengthened the British Empire. Daniel 11:45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The only portion of Daniel 11 yet to be fulfilled is this verse, the last of the chapter, and since these prophecies are made to be understood only when they are being fulfilled or after fulfillment, verse 45 is not as clear as we should like to have it. Consequently, concerning the place of his tabernacles and his end, also as to whether another Christian power, now keep in mind that the King of the North is the Catholic Church, the Pope is the King of the North, and he is calling himself a Christian. Now, here Donald Trump, he is a Presbyterian by birth. His father came from Germany, migrated. And Donald Trump claims to be a Christian and believes in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, identifying him with the Christian beliefs. So now it says, whether another Christian power shall inherit the title King of the North before verse 45 is fulfilled. Only time itself will positively portray the whole truth. So V.T. Hallett didn't have a clear picture on the whole truth there, that if another Christian power was going to inherit the King of the North title. But it just so happens that we're at that time when Donald Trump, he is the King, antithetical King Cyrus. He's identified as Cyrus, so that makes him with the title of a king. And he resides in the north here in the United States, in the Western Hemisphere. Now keep in mind, this north and south we're dealing with to begin with was in the Eastern Hemisphere, in the old country. But this here King of the North and South here in the time of the end, in the 12th hour, is dealing with the Western Hemisphere. And Donald Trump is apparently this Christian power that inherits the title King of the North. The thing that inspiration makes altogether clear is the fact that the king's next stand is his end. And while all look and listen, but none come to his help. Since we have established the time of the beginning of the time of the end, let us now establish the end of the time of the end. For light on this subject, we turn to Revelation 19:19-21. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay, the beast, the false prophet, and the remnant are here mentioned. Who are they? First the beast, the false prophet, and then the remnant. Those that are left are cast into the lake of fire. Since the beast and the prophet are special world entities, the remnant, those that are left, represent the rest of the unrepentant world sympathetic with the beast and the prophet. Okay, so I've identified this beast before as being Obama, and the prophet, the false prophet, being his vice president, Joe Biden, which is a Catholic, and he gets all of his instructions every day from the Vatican, the Pope, and he passes on to Obama, the beast. And so it says that during the Dark Ages, that beast had a little horn power came up with a mouth speaking great things, which represented the Pope back then. And the beast represented the New World Order, a world government. So as the Pope was a mouthpiece for the beast back then, and then so now the Pope is a mouthpiece through Joe Biden, the false prophet, for the beast today, Obama. So it represents the rest of the unrepentant world sympathetic with the beast and the prophet. This brings the University of South. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. A sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare, and thy returns the hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my protection bear. Hear him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his faith, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for his sweet hour of prayer. The hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height have you my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise to see the everlasting prize, and shall all passing through the air, the way.